Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 13th of September, 2017. We are in the book of Esther. We will be, we will be beginning in chapter 2. I did chapter 1 with the last part of Ecclesiastes on Monday, and this will be the first full show on Esther. A lot of explanation given in Monday's show about who Haman is, who is a descendant of King Agag of the Amalekites, who was hacked to pieces by the prophet Shemuel when Shaul was king. So they had a really diehard hatred for Israel over that. Okay, as I covered in Monday's show, Queen Vashti, or Washti, whichever way you want to pronounce it, had really fouled up. She'd refused to come to the king's big dinner party for all the officials, and she embarrassed the whole nation and set a precedent for the women to be rebellious against her husband, which just was not going to fly with that king. So here we'll take this up in chapter 2, verse 1. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was abated, that is 7918. I got to clear my lungs again. He remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. In other words, she was kicked out. Okay. Verse 2, then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be of pleasing appearance young virgins sought for the king. Verse 3, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, pardon me, that they may gather together all of pleasing appearance young virgins unto Shushan, the palace, to the house of the women, in other words, the harem, unto the custody of Hege, the king's eunuch, guardian of the women. In other words, they cut a lot of young boys and they raised them, and they were still strong men, but they had no sexual organs. They cut them, made them eunuchs. Okay. And let their things for rubbing be given them. Okay. That's 8562 rubbing. That is for scraping and rubbing for a ritual purification. Okay. Verse 4. And let the maiden which pleases or is pleasing in the eyes of, literally, the king reign 4427 instead of Vashti. And the thing was pleasing in the eyes of the king, and he did so. Okay, let me clear my lungs again. All right, now here we have verse 5. And this is going to require explanation because the Jews have changed the wording in the text. Verse 5. Now I'm going to read it. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Yahudi, and they have Jew there, and then they translate it as Yehudi, which is a mistranslation. It is Yahudi, a man that praises Yah, in other words, a man of the tribe of Yehuda, commonly known as Judah. There is no J in any of these words. The letter J doesn't exist. It has been inserted, so it's not Judah or Judea or any of that. It is begins with a Y. And the tribe of Yehuda got its name from the patriarch Yehuda. When he was named at birth, they said, let Yah be praised. Well, that is what it means. Yehuda. Yah is praised. They have cut the holy name out of all these names and changed them into Jewish translations, which is in error. So I'm not letting them get away with it. Okay. Here it means a Yahudi, which means a man of the tribe of Yehuda. Let's start over. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Yahudi whose name was Mordecai. Okay. The son of Yair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benyamini, a Benjaminite. He was a man of Judea, or the house of Judah, the country of Yehuda, okay, of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 6. And you can reference 2 Kings 24, verses 10 through 16, and 2 Chronicles 36, verse 10, on this verse, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, okay, king of Yehuda, who Nebuchadnezzar of Babel had carried away. He was in the Babylonian captivity. And he brought up Hadassa. That's 1919. That's her Hebrew name. That is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maiden was lovely in form and pleasing in appearance. Now that is way different than your King James Version, okay? He had raised her, brought her up. That's what that means, raised her. Because he was near kin and he raised her. Who Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. In other words, he was the nearest of kin, and he took her under his wing and raised her up. And Hadassah means myrtle. Okay. Esther is akin to a Persian word for star. And some see a connection between it and the Babylonian goddess Ishtar. And Mordecai was her cousin. Well, he raised her out of the goodness of his heart. Verse 8. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Hegai, the keeper of the woman, under the eunuch's guard. And these were not effeminate little guys. The harem guards were some fierce people, okay? That was their job. Nobody got near the harem. That was the king's property. Okay. Verse 9. And the maiden was pleasing in his eyes, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her her things for rubbing, in other words, ceremonial cleansing. With her portion, in other words, clothing, food, and seven maidens which were seen to be given her out of the king's house. In other words, she was going to be treated like royalty at this point, and they were going to give her a full rubbing, remove any hair. I mean, this was the custom back then. They're going to do her hair and her nails and just really foo-foo her up. She's going to be all perfumed and be just gorgeous. And he changed her place and her maids unto the best of the house of the women. In other words, she got the prime spot. She was destined for it, evidently. Esther had not told her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not tell. Verse 11. And Mordecai walked every day before the courtyard of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. In other words, he was keeping tabs on his adopted child. Okay. Pardon me, I have to clear my lungs. I've got that bronchitis and it's really hitting me. Verse 12. Now when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of women, or the law of the women. Okay. For so were the days of their purification fulfilled, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with balsam and with other things for the rubbing of the women. They were making sure all hair was removed. She didn't have any hair on her legs or underarms or other places, which was the custom of the time. And when they rubbed all that stuff, it would pull the hair out. Okay, very smooth. Verse 13. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given to her to go with her out of the house of the woman unto the king's house. Verse 14. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned unto the second house of the women, to the custody of Shaasgaz, the king's eunuch, which guarded the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. In other words, if she had caught his eye, he would send for her. Verse 15, now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, that guarded the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked on her. In other words, she, just because she was a real beauty, she wasn't an arrogant little thing. She was very sweet and of a good temper, and she didn't lord it over people, and people liked her. Okay. Verse 16. Pardon me for a second. So Esther was taken into King Ahasuerus, into his house royal, in the 10th month, which is the month Tebet, of the 7th year of his reign. Now, Tebet, 2887, the only one Hebrew month actually has a name, and that is Abib. They have, this is an influence of paganism later, when they gave the months it's foreign derivation. It's the 10th Hebrew month. It has been added, but it is not of Hebrew origin. And the Jews have kept that until today. We don't do that. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and kindness in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her reign instead of Vashti. Vashti shot herself in the foot with her arrogance and rebelliousness, and he was the great king, and he could just get women whenever he wanted, and she overstepped herself, so she's out. Tough luck. See ya. Bye. Find a new job, honey. Verse 18. Then the king made a great feast unto all his officials, just like before, and his servants, Esther's feast. And he made a holiday in the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. So he just took her to wife. Oh, that's a rough coffin spell. See, he was the king of Babylon, and they had just conquered everybody. Everybody was under his rule. And nobody said no to this guy, because he'd take your head off, literally. So he could just do this. And he did not know at this point that she was a Hebrew, a female Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin from the land of Judea, I guess if you want to call it that, Yehuda. That was not known to him. Verse 19, she was not a Jew, okay? He would have spotted that. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet told her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. She was still following his wise advice. Pardon me. In those, verse 21, in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigtan and Teresh, of those which guarded the threshold, remember the door guards, were angry and sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. Well, Mordecai was sitting there at the gate, and he overheard these guys. Verse 22, and the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther, the queen. And Esther told the king of it in Mordecai's name. Verse 23. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the words of the days before the king. The chronicles of his king of Babylon. And that ends chapter 2. Okay. Now we're going to get into chapter 3 about Haman's plot. Because he was a little Amalekite like they are today. Because the Jews are mixed with the Amalekites. They're all racial soup. And they are masters of conspiracy. Okay. Chapter 3, verse 1. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, Agagi in the Hebrew, which means they were descended from King Agag, the Amalekite king, in 1 Samuel 15, verses 8 through 33, and advanced him and set his seat above all the officials that were with him. Sort of like Trump has got Kushner in giving all the orders and stuff right now. Verse 2, and all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced, 7812, Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Uh-oh, no booty kissing. Verse 3, then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why do you transgress the king's commandment? Verse 4, now it came to pass, when they spoke daily unto him, and he did hearken not, in other words, he didn't listen unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a Yahudi, a man of a Judahite, okay? And we don't bow to men. We bow to Yahweh only. We don't bow to a man, no matter who he is. Doesn't matter. Pardon me for a second. Oh, that's better. Verse 5, and when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Verse 6, yeah, I'm going to do it. And he thought death. Boy. Like on the fake news now, you're despicable. Well, he thought despicably to lay hands on Mordecai alone. For they had told him of the people of Mordecai, wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Yahudi, the people of Judah, the Judahites, not Jews. I don't care what it says in the King James, that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai, because he innately hated the people of Yehuda and all of Israel, because his ancestor Agag had been hewed to pieces by Shemuel. Verse 7, in the first month, that is the month Nisan, that's another name they've given to the month of Abib, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, P-U-R, 6332, that is the lot before Haman from day to day, and from month to month to the 12th month. That is the month Adar. These are pagan names that were given when they were in the captivity. They are not actual Hebrew names. So, let me change my Esword to chapter 3 so I can look up a few things. Nisan, that's four name. That's Abib in Hebrew, okay? And Pur, 6332, that means a lot, as by means of a broken piece, like casting the dice or something like that, to be rough as a stone, pebbles used for the purpose of divining. You know, it was pagan, okay, in that sense. And the month Adar, 143, it's foreign derivation. It might mean the month of fire. But it is not a Hebrew name. It is a foreign paganism that they inserted. So here they're starting to put paganism in. Okay. Even with these little names, little subtle things. Here's verse 8, and you can reference the wisdom of Solomon in your Apocrypha. Chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And 3rd Maccabees, verses 2 and 7. Verse 8, and Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people, meaning the Judahites, scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom, and their laws are different from or diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not suitable for the king to let them alone. In other words, he's whispering in the ear of the king. If it is pleasing to the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. See how they're trying to destroy us back then, the same as they are now, passing laws against us. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business. In other words, to king, to kill the Israelites, to bring it into the king's treasury. So now he's bribing the king, because he trusts this Amalekite Jew, Haman. Verse 10, and the king took his ring, that's his signet ring, from his hand, and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagi, the Yaudim's enemy, the people that praise Yahweh, the enemy of the people of Yahuda. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seems good to you. Okay, so he had the money to buy his killer troops. Just like they're passing laws today. We're not even allowed to criticize. They're trying that. And they will get around to issuing decrees to do away with this. They've tried it before, over and over and over, and here we are. Here we're coming around again. Like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Verse 12, then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's satraps, that's his officials, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the officials of every people of every province, according to the writing of it, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written, and sealed with the king's ring. Now at that point it was done. It could not be reversed, because whatever the king decreed and sealed with his ring, that was it. That was final judgment, just because he was the king. Verse 13, and letters were sent by runners unto all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and cause to perish all Yahudi, both young men and old men, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for plundering. In other words, kill them and take everything they've got. Lovely, lovely guy. Lovely, lovely folks. And these were Babylonians, and they would have no problem killing us. No problem. Verse 14. The copy of the writing for a decree to be given in every province was disclosed unto all the people that they should be ready against that day. In other words, prepare to slaughter all the people that were captives of the land of Yehuda, of the tribe of Yehuda and Benjamin in Babylon. The runners went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city Shushan was in confusion. Well, that ends chapter 3. So they didn't know what was going on. Now, he said they wouldn't keep the king's laws. Well, we had the Torah, and they were still following the Torah of Moshe, even though they were captive in Babylon. They were not eating unclean things. They were not worshiping idols. And you'll see what Yahweh's going to do about this. Now, chapter 4 is a rather short chapter. Verse 1. When Mordecai perceived or knew all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothing as a sign of mourning and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried out with a loud and bitter cry. Verse 2, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate closed with sackcloth. Verse 3, you can reference 3 Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 2. Let me get a little water here. And in every province in the place the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Yahudi, or Yahudim, the people of the tribe of Judah, not the Jews. Doesn't say Jews in the scripture. And fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. They were mourning this decree. Verse 4, so Esther's maidservants and her eunuchs came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, 2:3:4:2. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. He was in mourning and very upset. Let me change chapters here. And verse 5. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai, to know what it was and why it was. If you want to know what was going on. Verse 6, so Hatak went forth to Mordecai under the street of the city, which was before the king's great, or gate, rather. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money, that's the bribe money, Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Ya'udim to destroy them. The blood money that he was going to pay to have them destroyed. A dirty little rat, Amalekite. And the Jews are mixed with the Amalekites today, too. So, verse 8, also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. Now, verse 8 is missing a bunch of text here. All right? They have cut out a bunch of stuff. So I'm going to read to you, instead of the King James, I'm going to read this verse again out of the Septuagint. Now, they have claimed that this is not a holy book, that the name of Yahweh is not in here. That is a lie. Here it comes. This is verse 8 out of the Septuagint, which is more accurate in this case than the modified Hebrew text. They lied. This is out of the Septuagint, chapter 4, verse 8. And he gave him a copy of the writing that was published in Shushan concerning their destruction to show to Esther, and told him to charge her to go in and entreat the king and to beg him for the people, remembering, said he, the days of your low estate. See, that's totally different. The low estate, how you were nursed by my hand, because Amon, that's Haman, who holds the next place to the king, has spoken against us for death. Here it comes. Do you call upon the Lord, which they have in here, but do you call upon Yahweh, if you look it up, and speak to the king concerning us to deliver us from death? Call on the name of Yahweh and pray to him, and then go into the king, in other words, and make supplication from him. He's putting it in the hands of Yahweh. So that debunks all the nonsense that they have cut out of the King James Bible. That is very important to know that. They have cut out the name of Yahweh and her prayer from the Bible. And then they can try to claim this book for the Jews, because they keep sticking the word Jew in here in the English translations when it is not the word Jew. Has nothing to do with the Jews. It has to do with the tribe of Yehuda and Benjamin. And if they were Benjaminites, they were just like the Apostle Paul, who was a Benjaminite, and he was a citizen of Rome, and he was not a Jew, because a Jew couldn't be a citizen of Rome. All the disciples were Benjaminites, except Judas Iscariot, Judas the man from Kerioth, he was an Edomite. And he was a devil. That's the one that Christ said, there's one of you is a devil. Because he was an Edomite. So there's a little education for you. Verse 9. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spoke unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. Verse 11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner courtyard who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Verse 12, and they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that you shall escape in the king's house more than all the Yahudi. Verse 14. For if you are completely silent at this time, then shall their relief and deliverance arrive to the Yahudi from another place, but you and your father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows whether you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Talking about the Yahudi, the people of what you would, I'm going to use the word, Judah, the Judahites of the tribe of Judah. That's Yahudah. Yah is praised. Verse 15, then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Verse 16, go, gather together all the Yahudim that are present in Shushan and fast for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. What did Christ say about fasting and praying? Yahweh will hear the prayer of the righteous. These are not Jews, these are Yahweh's chosen people. And she is going to call on Yahweh and fast. Verse 17. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Okie dokie. That ends chapter 4. Now on Friday, I will begin in chapter 5. Talking about the banquet, and the tide is going to turn, okay? Old Haman is going to see the beginning of his end. Okay, I really don't want to get into 5 right now because well, it's only 15 verses, but I really don't have the time. 14 verses, pardon me. I don't have the time to get it all, and I don't want to stop in the middle of a chapter. That's bad business. You need to hear the whole thing in one sitting. But what's gone on so far is they've run up on this Amalekite, descendant of King Agag. And he's offended that Mordecai wouldn't bow to him. Well, an Israelite doesn't bow to any man. You don't prostrate or bow before anyone, only Yahweh. And he wasn't going to break Yahweh's laws. He was a man of Yahweh. He was righteous. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. And Mordecai was an Israelite, and the Amalekite descendant hated all Israel. When he heard he was an Israelite of the tribe of Yehuda, he really hated him, and he set out to destroy him, just like they are trying to destroy us today. There's no difference between then and now. They're doing the same old, same old. And it's going to turn out the same way in the end. When we get to the end, it's going to be the second coming of Yeshua Messiah, and all of these enemies of true Israel, the Caucasian people, will be destroyed. I mean, it's going to be a repeat. All these things in these scriptures are a sign to us of times to come. If you just study what it says in the scriptures, you look up the background and you do your studies, and it'll all be revealed to you. No problem. But most people don't actually read these things and then find out what the words mean. They don't want to research the scripture. They don't want to look up the history. This all starts back in the book of Samuel. And they chop verses out of the Bible, and you have to find out what other texts say. You got to research other parts of the Bible that have the complete thing that they haven't chopped out. The King James Version is highly modified. I'm telling you, highly modified, much to our detriment, much to the detriment of those who actually want to study and find out what the Word says. You can't just have one version of the Scriptures. You got to have a bunch of them and research. You'll have a little truth in this one, a little truth in that one, a little truth in another one, and you read it all and you research it and find out what the truth is, then you've got a clear picture of what went on. You're not going to get it just with a Strong's Concordance and a King James Bible. You're going to have to get other reference material. Get a copy of the Septuagint. It's on Esword. You can get a copy right there on Esword for free. You get all these. You get the Brown Driver Briggs for free on Esword. You can get the Septuagint. You can get all the different versions of the King James. You can get the Scriptures by the Institute for Scriptures Research. Wow. I mean, what a tool. It's a great tool. It truly is. But you're going to have to make the effort to do it. That's the whole point. A lot of people out there that listen to me and my shows get these things. A lot of them follow along, and they're really intense. I've got a lot of people that are very, very intense. I'm looking at the translation of the scriptures of that verse 8. It doesn't have it in it. Only in the Septuagint does it have the accurate text, you know. They have made it very, very difficult for those who truly truly want to study. They have cut us out, and the enemy has been very, very busy. They have done so much. Just like what they're doing with the websites, cutting out the websites, taking them off, cutting funding for the truther sites, EFR among others. Yeah, we're under attack. Not just the Daily Stormer. And the reason for this is the truth is getting out, and people are becoming aware. And that scares the panties off the adversary and his troops. They are afraid of Yahweh. They know full well what the scriptures say their fate is going to be. They are very much aware of that. In their teachings, they deny it. But it's not going to do them any good. The rabbis know what's coming. And they are afraid and they're panicking. And they're trying to shut everything down. They're trying to prolong their reign upon this earth. And it's coming down to the time when their money is not going to do them any good. Because they have manipulated over much, and the system is crumbling. And when it crashes, they will have absolutely no power at all. And it's going to get really, really ugly. They're going to come against us with their thugs. They will make sure that their thugs get paid. But the thugs are going to be overly busy because it's going to be complete anarchy. Fighting in the streets, insanity. That's why I keep doing the prepper shows and urging people to prepare spiritually first and physically second, and get ready for what's coming. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad for us too, okay? That's why they call it tribulation. It's going to be worse than it is now. And it's bad now. All these storms with no explanation. All of it. It's a crazy, crazy world. And it's going to get crazier. So the main thing is, you need to keep your faith and trust in Yahweh. And pray without ceasing. Pray for Israel. Pray for your friends and the pastors. And your family. And straighten up your lifestyle and live according to Yahweh's rules. And things will turn out okay for you. Our master's coming back soon. Well, I have less than a minute, and I'm going to say Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you, to all my brothers and sisters out there, and I will talk to you again on Friday, beginning with the Chapter 5 of the Book of Esther. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the Royal Master leads against the foe.